Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom, and today we're going to write a Dear John letter.
You mean I'm going to write a Dear John? You can't.
I could, I suppose, if I were gay.
I guess you could write a Dear Jane letter.
I guess. I didn't know there was such a thing. But usually these letters are written by women or girlfriends who are basically telling their boyfriends who are far away to hit the trail, get lost, Buster, I'm dropping you, I'm breaking up with you because I found somebody new, I found somebody better.
Yeah, while you were away doing whatever, I found someone else to date, and now we're engaged, so I'm breaking up with you.
Oh, yeah, bing bian, as they call it in Chinese. But here we're talking about Dear John letters. That, of course, is a letter that the girl's going to write to her boyfriend. And, of course, he's stationed in a war zone someplace, and he receives this letter, and he's brokenhearted and stuff like that.
So. Or he could be attending college in another country or university. Any reason for him to be away from you would give you an excuse to date a new guy. So right. If you're not a loyal, faithful girlfriend, you might find somebody else while your boyfriend's away. But you know what? He might be dating other girls, too.
It'd be nice. It kind of depends on where he is.
Yeah.
And, well, yes, the guys, of course, could write a letter like this to their girlfriends as well. Although we tend to think of this as something that women write to their boyfriends who are far away working. That's what happens most of the time. So we're talking about the history of the Dear John letter, what it means, and how we can interpret it, and maybe how you could prepare yourself for writing a Dear John letter when the time becomes necessary. Hopefully it won't, but let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire content of our lesson today, and then we'll come back to talk about it.
Dear John, it's difficult to start this letter, but I absolutely must cut to the chase. I'm engaged. While you've been away this past year, I've met my soulmate. His name is Robert, and we met at a party. Robert's a swell guy. I'm sure you'd like him if you ever had the chance to meet him. I'm truly sorry I had to end things this way. A Dear John letter like the one above is written to one's lover to let them know that your relationship is a thing of the past. It's not always the case that the writer has found a new lover, but it frequently is the reality. The term Dear John letter originated during World War II, when couples were forced apart by the long conflict. If it had not been for the war, many relationships could have survived. The reason John was chosen as the generic name is disputed. One possible origin is that it came from the popular song, When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again, which used Johnny as a common name for foot soldiers. Another potential source could have been a radio program called Dear John, a broadcast wherein a fictional female character read letters to her soldier lover. These breakup letters are still penned today, but sometimes the person getting dumped responds in a humorous way. A soldier stationed abroad received a Dear John letter in which his ex-girlfriend requested that he return her picture she sent him. So, the soldier asked all his buddies to give him one photo of their significant others. He then put the pictures in an envelope for her and asked, "Which one are you again?" So if you ever receive a Dear John letter, remember that it's not the end of the world. It's just time for you to look for someone better.
Okay, let's cut to the chase and get down to business and explain today's article in detail. We've got an example of a Dear John letter at the beginning of our article. Dear John, the start of bad news. So if you see Dear John in your letter, it's probably going to be bad news. And it's difficult to start this letter, the girl says, but I absolutely must cut to the chase. I'm engaged. Ooh, that's being very direct. She's not beating around the bush at all. No subtlety here.
No. Actually, you said if you get a letter that starts out, Dear John, it's a bad sign. It's not if their name is John.
I was going to say, yeah, because no one would write a letter to me, Dear John. Of course, it'd be Dear Tom. But we'll explain exactly why this is called a Dear John letter in just a second.
Yeah. Well, this is an actual beginning to a letter. And this girl says, it's difficult to start this letter, but I absolutely must cut to the chase. Absolutely means completely. She has no other choice. She must do this. She must totally do this. I could say, I'm absolutely exhausted today. I'm completely exhausted. So there's no other choice. She feels like she must do something. What is it? Cut to the chase. Cut to the chase is an idiom we use that means we want to go directly to the most important part of something we're doing, maybe a story. Have you ever had a friend or a coworker who's telling you a story and they go on and on and on and you think, well, get to the best part. Don't waste my time with all these stupid details. Cut to the chase means, hey, can you please get to the point? Get right to the point. Don't spend too much time giving me details. It comes from the fact that in movies, in action movies in particular, the most exciting parts usually are car chases, you know, the car chase in these movies that go on and on. Guys love them. I think girls think they're boring. But that's why we say cut to the chase. Can we just skip the other boring parts and go right to the most exciting part? That's what we want to do.
Yeah, stop all this nonsense of talking about your feelings and relationships and all that stuff. We want the action. That's what we've come here. So cut to the chase. Come to the point. And so she is coming to the point here. She's being direct. She's cutting to the chase. She says, I'm engaged. And if you're engaged, of course, that means you've promised somebody that you're going to marry them. Both the man and the woman can say they are engaged.
That's right. Ooh, that would be a hard letter to get. And notice she's engaged to someone else. She's not engaged to this guy she's writing to.
Ooh.
She says, while you've been away this past year, remember in our opening we talked about how people who are separated from each other usually have problems keeping that relationship going. It's difficult if you're having to do a long-distance relationship. I've tried it. It's very hard. It doesn't work out. So while he's been away, of course, this girl met someone else, and she calls this other person her soulmate. Your soulmate is someone who just seems perfect for you. You like the same things. It's like he was created especially for your happiness.
Soulmates, we were destined to be together. It is our destiny to be together. Yes, she has met her soulmate, the person that she thinks she should be with. And his name is Robert, and we met at a party. So usually when a girl tells you they're breaking up with you for another guy, they go on and tell you all the details about this guy as if that's going to help ease the pain. Girls like to do this. They shove the knife in your heart, and not only that, they reach down your throat, they grab your heart, they shove it in the oven on a piece of toast, and they serve it to you, and they expect you to say, thanks, honey, it's delicious.
Yeah, it hurts even more to hear about this guy. Who cares what he's like? His name's Robert. They met at a party, and John's probably thinking, why is she going to parties without me? Well, Robert's a swell guy. A swell here means very good, excellent. It's very old-fashioned. We don't really use this word anymore. But back during World War II, World War I even, they would use this to describe someone who's great. Oh, he's swell. He's a swell guy. I wouldn't use it today, but...
Sounds weird, yeah. Yes, sounds dated.
It's very old-fashioned. But it's kind of the language they used back then. She says, I'm sure you'd like him if you ever had the chance to meet him. John's probably thinking, I'd punch him if I ever met him. I'd beat him up. And then she apologizes. She says, I'm truly sorry. I had to end things this way. She doesn't really feel bad. She's engaged. She's happy.
Exactly. Well, that's an example of a Dear John letter, and the Dear John letter, like the one above, is written to one's lover, your boyfriend usually, but maybe sometimes your girlfriend, although, as you said earlier, that would be a Dear Jane letter.
Yeah.
But it's mostly a Dear John letter, and she's writing to let him know that their relationship is a thing of the past. It's over. It's done. We need to move on with our lives. A relationship, of course, means the way in which two people interact with each other, how they're connected, what kind of relationship they have. So if you're in a relationship with somebody, usually it means that you're seeing each other romantically, although you can have a business relationship and stuff like that. But you can usually say, I'm in a relationship right now, which means I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. It's not always the case that the writer has found a new lover. Sometimes you'll get a Dear John letter just because your girlfriend doesn't really want to, you know, deal with you anymore. She just doesn't want to be in a relationship. Or you're never coming back. You've been gone for 3 years. Why should she wait? But it frequently is the reality that you get a Dear John letter because your girlfriend has found someone new. Frequently here means it happens quite often. I could say, you know, I frequently work with Tom recording different types of materials, especially here. So that's usually the case, but not always. Sometimes people will want to break up just because they don't feel like there's any future in your relationship.
Right, and oftentimes they tell you that they don't want to have a relationship. They're just breaking up with you, not because of somebody else, but usually it's only about a week or two later that they actually start going out with somebody new. That's what happens usually, but yes, most of the time, frequently, it is the case she's found someone new. Well, why do we call this a Dear John letter? Why not Dear Tom or Dear Joe or Dear Dick or whatever? Well, the term Dear John letter originated during World War II when couples were forced apart by the long conflict. So all over the world, men were sent off to fight, so they were far away from home, far away from their girlfriends. That affected a lot of people during World War II, and couples here, that's, of course, romantic couples, boy and girl, they were forced apart by the long conflict. If you're forced apart by something, that means something causes you to separate and you don't have any control over it. You get drafted into the army and you're sent to fight in the South Pacific or in Germany or someplace like that, and you just can't be with the one you love.
Mm-hmm. Conflict can mean a couple of different things. Here it actually is describing the war that was going on, the conflict, the World War II conflict. It went on for many years. But a conflict can also be a situation where people don't get along. They disagree or argue about something. They're having a conflict. They're in a conflict. They never get along. It's kind of difficult when people aren't friendly, especially if you're in a work environment and people are always having some sort of conflict. But here, again, in our article, it refers to the war itself, which went on and on and on. It was really tough for people around the world who were involved. There were a lot of countries involved in World War II. Right now, guys, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back to continue talking about the Dear John letter and what it means. We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue talking about the Dear John letter. Do people write letters anymore? I guess they write emails. If you're in the army, if you're, serving your military time here in Taiwan and you're stationed down in Pingdong and your girlfriend's up in Taichung or Taipei or someplace like that and she's gone out to a disco and met this really handsome guy and she wants to break up with you, what does she do? Does she send you a text message, a line message, or a letter, actually handwritten? I don't know. I guess you could call it a John, a Dear John text. Could you actually say that?
Hey, nowadays I've read about some celebrities who have broken up through a text message. That's terrible.
It is
or,
terrible.
By posting a tweet on Twitter,
ooh,
you know, a quick message that everyone can read, that's terrible too.
Ooh, wow.
If you're going to break up with someone, either do it in person or at least have the decency to write a real letter and put it in the mail. And, oh, it's just a hard situation. You should probably break up in person or at least call them on the phone.
Hey, when's the last time you actually wrote a letter to somebody by hand?
I typed a letter and I sent it. Does that count?
Oh, well, I guess that's okay.
I typed a letter to my dad, yeah.
It will only count if you used a manual typewriter to type it and not an electric one.
No, I use my computer.
Okay, that doesn't count. It's electronic. You actually have to use your hand to write a letter. I don't think anybody does that anymore. But in any case here, we are talking about writing Dear John letters and where this term came from. It came from the period of World War II when couples were forced apart because of that long conflict. Now, here in the next sentence, it says, if it had not been for the war, many relationships could have survived. So here we're talking about some kind of conditional situation, and we're using the past perfect here. If it had not been for the war, if the war had not taken place, then lots of these relationships could have survived. These men would not have had to go off to war and fight the Germans and the Japanese. They could have stayed there with their sweethearts, gotten married, had families and kids, and lived happily ever after.
Another example of the conditional here is, if it were not for the internet, we would not have access to information so quickly. Notice we're not saying if it was not for the internet. We use were because we're using the conditional if. So if it were not for the internet, we would not have access to information so quickly. In other words, we can have access to information quickly nowadays because of the internet. Notice though that we're using the past perfect in the sentence within the article itself. If it had not been for the war, many relationships could have survived. So it's kind of a more advanced tense that we're using there, but we do use it, so you need to become familiar with it.
Indeed. So we've got another example here. If it had not been for his help, they could not have finished the project yesterday. So if he had not helped, then they would not have been able to finish the project yesterday. They probably would have required several more days to finish the project. I guess that he was a great guy because he offered all his help. Now, why do we use the word John? Well, the reason John was chosen as the generic name is disputed. Disputed means it's argued. People haven't agreed on that. There's disagreement, argument, or debate about that. Sometimes there's territorial disputes in the world. Of course, we won't mention some of the obvious examples. Here in Asia, there are territorial disputes in the Pacific Ocean over certain islands. And generic here just means relating to a class or group of things, and it's not specific. So, yes, why are we choosing this generic name, a name that can apply to everybody?
For example, I could say flu. The flu is sometimes used as a generic term for any illness caused by a virus. It's probably a specific type of flu, but we all say flu. Or the cold is sometimes used as a generic term for any illness caused by a virus where we're sneezing and coughing. Mm. So it's just something we apply to a whole group of things or a whole class of general things. If you dispute something, you argue about it. People don't agree. Not everyone agrees on this. So what's one possible origin or beginning? Well, some people think it came from the popular song, When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again. Tom, I know you like to sing. Do you want to sing?
Can I whistle it instead?
Okay.
When Johnny comes marching home again, we'll
hurrah,
sing,
hurrah,
hurrah, etc. That's an old kind of military song. So, yes, some people have suggested that the word John comes from Johnny from this song. And Johnny is used commonly as a common name for foot soldiers.
Uh-huh.
A foot soldier, of course, is your common soldier. common foot soldier, probably somebody in the infantry.
Yeah, it's the military men who are ranked pretty low. They probably just entered the army or the military, and they're walking. They don't have jeeps and planes and ships to move around on. They're actually walking in the battlefields. Now, another potential source could have been a radio program that was actually called Dear John. Potential here means capable of becoming real. It's a possibility. So another possible source, I could say, could have been a radio program. Now, this radio program called Dear John was a broadcast or a program. You can also use broadcast to represent a TV or radio program wherein a fictional character, it was a female, she would read letters to her soldier lover. Wherein is kind of a more formal conjunction. It's a conjunction. So it puts things together in a sentence. It's formal. It just means in which or where. The city wherein he lives is Taipei. We don't usually use it when we're speaking, only when we write.
And in this program, this broadcast, there was a fictional female character. Yes, it had a female voice reading this, but the character was fictional, which means it was invented, it was made up, it's not a real person. So they had this program in which this female character, she was fictitious, she read letters to her soldier lover. So I suppose in most situations, the letters were positive because of morale. The troops were, you know, in the trenches, and they were all depressed because they were going to get killed and
stuff
like that.
You want to keep them happy and feeling positive.
Yeah. Right. So most of the times the letters were probably very positive. Dear John, I miss you so much. I know you're fighting for your country, and so I've been here waiting for you, and I'll be waiting for you when you come back. I will tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree for you.
Yeah, tying a yellow ribbon around an oak tree just meant, we're looking forward to your homecoming. So when soldiers came home and saw that yellow ribbon around a tree, they knew their family was expecting them home. Now, these breakup letters, these Dear John letters, are still penned today. To pen something just means to write. And we're using breakup here as an adjective. It's a noun. To break up, if you split those two words apart, it's a verb phrase. To break up with someone. But here we're using it as a noun. It's acting as an adjective to break up. A breakup is the end of a relationship. It could be the end of a marriage. Money problems often lead to marriage breakups. People who get divorced because they're having arguments and conflicts over money. Well, but sometimes today people are getting dumped. They choose to respond in a funny way. They choose to do something that's kind of humorous. Humorous means funny. To get dumped, if you dump someone, it's informal. It just means you break up with them. You end your relationship with someone. Oh, my boyfriend dumped me. I got dumped yesterday. I dumped my girlfriend yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That's a slang term for saying somebody jilted you. They let you go. They gave you your walking papers. You can no longer be together. And sometimes the soldier thought, well, if she's going to write a letter like that to me and go out with some other guy who doesn't deserve her, then I'm going to write back in a humorous way. Now, here's an example. We have an actual soldier stationed abroad. If you're stationed somewhere, that means you've been sent to this place by your country to fight in a war. Lots of American soldiers are stationed in countries all over the world. So if you're stationed in other countries abroad, this particular soldier was stationed abroad, and he received a Dear John letter. His ex-girlfriend said that she wanted to break up with him. Not only that, but she also requested that he return her picture that she had sent him. Since we're not going to be together, I don't want you to have my picture to look at. Please send it back. So he came up with an idea that's rather funny.
Yeah, it is funny. He asked all his buddies, the other soldiers out there with him, to give him one photo of their significant others.
Ooh.
A significant other is a noun, and it just means someone that you have a romantic relationship with. It could be your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. A significant on its own just means important. So someone who is important in your life, The most important person in your life would be your significant other. Then he took all the pictures that he gathered together from his buddies. He put those photos in an envelope for his ex-girlfriend, this girl who wanted her picture back from him, and said, which one are you again?
Ooh, that's a low blow. He hit her below the waist there. Which one are you again? In other words, he sent her lots of pictures of other girlfriends, so I guess that should make her feel bad. Boy, I guess I shouldn't have broke up with him. I should have stayed together with him. He's had all those lovers. He's quite a catch.
Yeah, what he was doing, in case you didn't understand that, is he was trying to let her know she wasn't special to him. He had lots of girlfriends, and he honestly couldn't remember which one she was. Like, what? Who are you again? Which one of these faces belong to you? It was really kind of mean, but she deserved it. She sent him a Dear John letter.
Right. Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes feelings change, and you can't 100% blame the girl for that. She doesn't have to be loyal. They're not married yet. But in any case, it's kind of fun. Although sometimes it can be quite heartbreaking for the man who's in the ditch hundreds of miles away. Maybe she should wait until the war's over so that he can continue to have some hope and continue to fight hard for his country.
You just said something that was very important. I want our listeners to understand. You cannot send a Dear John letter to a spouse, to someone you're married to.
Oh, yeah.
If you're married already, you can't send them a Dear John letter. That would mean you're being unfaithful to them.
And that's a sin.
You're having an affair. A Dear John letter can only go to a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Exactly. So if you ever receive a Dear John letter, remember that it's not the end of the world. There are still plenty of fish in the sea. You still have time to find somebody else, probably somebody better, and that's what it says here. It's just time for you to move on and look for someone better. Sounds pretty encouraging. Why limit yourself to that boring old girl if she's going to break up with you? You don't deserve her. You need to go after somebody better who will love you and respect you forever and ever.
Well, Tom and I wish all of our listeners a lot of luck. We hope they never receive a Dear John letter. We also hope that, for you girls out there, think again before you write those letters. I would suggest it's better to actually tell the person face to face that your heart has changed, your feelings have changed. Don't write a letter. It's a tough letter to receive. Okay, everybody, that's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us, and come back soon. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.